Check, check. All I need is one mic. What's up, everybody? It's Monday. Welcome. Last week, I did a couple YouTubes, that didn't end up on the podcast feed just because I was running around and out of town and on the move. So if you only listen to the podcast and don't check out the YouTube, then you have not heard me talk since our Farewell to Ham episode. My bad. Should have got this thing on the feed earlier so you knew this feed wouldn't die. Anyway, you can check out the YouTube down in the description below and go watch the video I did on Thursday morning. Watch the one I did on Wednesday morning, actually, is really the one where I address what's coming next here on this feed. But I know there are a lot of you that have told me I'm not a YouTube guy. I'm a podcast guy. And so I did want to slide this in here as well. What's going to be happening here on this feed is more shows, not less shows, the same amount of shows. If you've been listening for a while, then you know that I've been posting a lot of what I do here on the podcast feed as well. And you've heard me by myself solo on this feed for almost a year now from time to time. I'd say even often. So that's going to continue. They won't all be kind of these solo shows. I feel good about doing it. You guys still listen. The YouTube still grows. People watch it. So thanks for that. But we'll also be bringing on some guests, have some other people. I enjoy bouncing stuff off people, going back and forth, rapping. And so that stuff will stay. I know there may be some more questions for you about how things are going to look. I mean, you might have seen the art of the podcast has changed. It says the Guy Haberman Podcast now. That's how it should look on your podcast feed. And whether or not that stays the name, I'm not sure. But we're making the necessary changes here. Not so slowly, but surely, but making those changes. So if you have questions for me, as always, you can DM me on Instagram or Twitter. And come watch a live show on YouTube if you want. I always appreciate that. And so I'm not diving as deep here in this little message as I did on the Wednesday morning YouTube that I did. But you can go watch that if you want. Otherwise, the short version, TLDR, sorry for your loss or congratulations, but I ain't reading all that version of this is keep it here. Things going to continue. More of what you've come to expect, which is a lot of football talk, a lot of Niner talk. That plan's not changing here, and I'm excited to see what comes next and what we can make of it all. So thanks. This next thing you're going to hear is the podcast I did on Monday morning, diving into NFL free agency. There'll be more of it there. If you want to just be podcast guy, that's cool. Just know that a lot of this stuff is live on YouTube. So sometimes on YouTube, it you get it first. Now, some stuff is going to be only on the podcast feed. But for the most part, it's just so easy to go live, take that audio, put it on the pod. It definitely gets edited. Like, I want to be sensitive to the fact that the listening experience and the viewing experience are two different things. And some stuff might be good on video and sucks on audio. And so I don't want to subject you, the podcast listener, to too much like me scrolling through comments or, hey, look at that type stuff. So I try to edit that as much as possible so you've got a good listening experience. But anyway, hit that 5-star review. Leave a question. As I've been saying, the mailbag's coming back. You'll probably just hear me say it again here as I set up the YouTube pod. So I won't dive too deep into it. But yeah, get back into the mailbag when you hit a 5-star review. However you listen, that helps. So thank you. And onward with Monday's free agency pod. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome. It is Monday morning, 10:09 a.m. Pacific. I don't always give out the time of the date, but it's a free agency frenzy, so we're doing that today. I'm Guy. Glad you're here. The YouTube channel, Guy Haberman YouTube channel. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the channel. Check out the podcast, which is down in the description below. If you're listening to the podcast, which you find by searching Guy Haberman Podcast, on your podcast provider, appreciate it. If you're on Apple Podcast, you can watch the YouTube channel by checking out the link in your description, the pod description. And as I've been promising, mailbag is coming back. So on the podcast, hit the Apple Podcast 5-star review, 5 stars, leave a review. In the review, leave a question. Appreciate that very much. 5 stars for my weekend, Flower and Water, North Beach location. Andrew Schultz stand up on Saturday night was fantastic. I've seen Chappelle twice. I'm not saying he's better than Chappelle. I'm just saying I laughed as hard as I laughed at Chappelle when I saw Andrew Schultz 9:45 show Saturday night at the Masonic in San Francisco. It was incredible. It was incredible. It was incredible. I was blown away. Five star to Cholita Linda as well. All right. Here we go. The week is here. Big week. I've got free agency. We've all got free agency. Thursday, NCAA tournament, kind of. Pac-12 tournament. I'm going to Vegas on Thursday. I'll be in Vegas through the weekend. If stuff happens, I'll do stuff from Las Vegas, but I'm excited to go watch the last Pac-12 tournament ever. Okay, we're going to keep an eye on the internet as we do this as much as we can. Try not to get distracted by any of that stuff as we run through at least some of the initial stories of the day. And let's go. A few things to point out. Eric Armstead being the biggest news, at least, of the 49ers days so far, going back to yesterday. And a couple different ways to read this Armstead stuff here early Monday or midday, almost Monday. Mayoko, the Niners approached Armstead about accepting a significant pay cut, important word, of his scheduled $17.4 million. He declined, so the Niners are set to release him. He'll become a free agent. It hasn't happened yet as we do this. Mayoko, that was his wording. Schefter's wording was a little bit different. He said after the Niners and Eric Armstead attempted but failed to work out a restructured contract, the Niners expect to release him. San Francisco now plans to release him. Per source, Armstead expected to become a free agent. The two sides came close to a deal, but Armstead, as Schultz reported, wants to see what his market is. So when I read what Schefter wrote, it sounds like there was more hope in a contract than the way I read Mayoko, who says they approached him, significant pay cut. He said no. The way Schefter wrote it, when I read Schefter's, I thought, well, he wants to test the market. It doesn't mean he would not be back. So let's see how that one plays out. That's first on my list of just how things go, right? I mean, if you're him and one of the guys who worked in your organization, maybe, you know, definitely had a hand in drafting you, Adam Peters, just took over in Washington, trying to set a culture, just traded away two of his defensive linemen. Well, he didn't, but Montez Sweat and Chase Young got traded away before he got there. You know, the home team always feels like, we talk about home team discounts a lot, but sometimes the home team pays a little more because they know how much somebody is worth beyond just their numbers, their film. And so Eric Armstead has some advocates potentially out there, right? If you're him, you go, well, Washington might really value me because they know what I do in a locker room. Maybe D'Amico Ryans and the Houston Texans, right? Maybe Mike McDaniel, maybe Robert, not that Robert Saleh needs him, but, you know, I think there is probably some sense if you're them, like, this isn't just any normal free agency. There are guys that have been around me all over the league. I think Washington would probably be at the top of the list. Would they be willing to overpay a little bit because they're not in a win? I mean, everyone's in a win now mode, but they're not in the most win now mode. And then maybe they see a little value in you. Peters didn't draft Eric. Eric Armstead was here before Peters. Thank you. Nonetheless, he's had time to get to know him. So, you know, I think that would be one. That'd be one potential team. You know, the Niners did a lot without him, just like they've done a lot without DeForest Buckner. After DeForest Buckner got traded, we thought, how could they ever recover from this? And they did. They went back to the Super Bowl. Now, they never replaced DeForest Buckner, really. They've been trying, and maybe they'll be trying. But Eric Armstead is leaving potentially at a time. He's not playing at the level because of his availability that DeForest Buckner was playing at when he left. So it'll hurt. Particularly from a pass rush standpoint, maybe you can replace him with a better run stuffer. I think if they went interior here in free agency, you would need that. It's not really Javon Hargrave's strength either. I don't read it as 1,000% gone just because of the way Schefter reported it, but I think you've got to expect that he's gone. And I think when you look back at the way the Niners have handled free agency the last few years, when you look back at some of the things that have been said, Tom Pelissero, I was watching watching NFL Network right now. Pelissero said this morning, expect the Niners to make another big signing. You know, I take that more as the Niners loading up for somebody else than moving money to try and stay under the cap. I remember where I was, actually, when the 49ers drafted Eric Armstead. John and I were doing a draft show with Ricky Waters from a Hooters somewhere on the peninsula. Don't remember exactly where. The Niners drafted Armstead, and I got to tell you, if you were I didn't love the pick. I didn't love the pick then. I was wrong about the pick. It was a good pick. I thought they were drafting a basketball player who'd be not to be extreme, but to be simple, a little too soft. I was wrong. Really excellent player. Excellent player. Excellent member of the franchise. He will be missed. He will be missed if he's gone. But at some point, everybody's got to get replaced. And they've spent a lot of their money at linebacker with Fred Warner, or a lot of their attention, I should say, goes to linebacker with Fred Warner, goes to Nick Bosa, the money him, Hargrave the money, Mooney Ward's going to need money, and this guy's not available. So I think when you go through kind of the offseason conversations we've had to this point about of the big money guys, who could be out, based on performance, Armstead was always at the top of that list. You know, we know there's the Juszczyk story right now. Here's what Barrows tweeted early on Monday morning. As Adam Kaplan noted, the Niners approached Kyle Juszczyk, hero, about lowering his salary cap hit for the upcoming season. The two sides are talking. Nothing's been finalized. He has a base salary of $5.75 million for 2024. So that's a name that's come up a lot. We've talked about it on this show personally. Hate to see it. I don't expect to see it. The reason I brought him up here is just I think he's been more important than Armstead in a way for the 49ers because he's been available, integral part of what they do. The Niners could have used, you know, they suffered without Armstead. So don't get it twisted. Like, the guy's an impactful player, but they've had to prove they can survive without him. Comment from JHH, this regime doesn't have a great track record of drafting interior defensive linemen. No, you know, I could see Kinlaw being back just because he's not going to be expensive, right? So he'd be at the top of that list. I think what they do here in these next few hours and days will affect the way we look at their draft. So let's see where they spend right now. Let's see where the Niners spend. If they go offensive lineman in free agency, then maybe that means they feel good about going defensive lineman early in the draft in the first round. If they go D lineman here, if they go pass rusher here, maybe it's because they feel really good about an offensive lineman getting to them that can play right away. You bring McKivitz back, you draft the best available offensive lineman to you in the first round. If it's a guard, then great. If it's a tackle, then great. And McKivitz can be a guard or a swing tackle, or we've seen with this offensive line every year, you need multiple guys. So, you know, I think the Armstead deal is one that's about creating money for them and making a splash. It's every indication has been so far that the 49ers are going to do something significant. The thread that Mike Silver put together on Sunday was interesting. Let me pull it up on the TV here. Expect the Niners to approach free agency with a sense of urgency at the edge position opposite of Nick Bosa. That doesn't mean they will jump immediately or overpay. They want value. Still, with players like Danielle Hunter, Jonathan Greenard, and Leonard Floyd out there, they'd be poised to move quickly at the right price. Greenard has already been signed by the Vikings, which really makes Danielle Hunter, who I think would feel like a major win for the 49ers, extra available. I think everybody felt like he was available, but $76 million in 4 years for Jonathan Greenard goes from Houston to Minnesota. $42 million guaranteed is what Schefter reported there. So he goes on to say, Silver, they'd be monitoring potential trades and the release of Chargers edges, Khalil Mack or Joey Bosa. They'll do something, I believe. Let's take a break in the thread there to point out that Cheryl Bosa, Nick and Joey's mom, reacting to a post on the internet about Joey and Nick playing together, posted OMG Do It For Mama. The photo has Joey photoshopped into a 49ers uniform. The situation for the Chargers, if you think, well, I don't know, I don't really want to trade for Joey Bosa, you may not have to. Here's the salaries committed for the Chargers this year. Khalil Mack, $38.5 million. Joey Bosa, $36.6 million. Keenan Allen, $34.7 million. Mike Williams, $32.4 million. So that's why Silver writes, let's keep an eye on potential releases by the Chargers. Silver goes on to say paying for an edge could mean parting ways with Eric Armstead and going cheaper opposite Javon Hargrave. So far, Silver's right. Check that box. Keep an eye on former Niners defensive tackle DJ Jones, likely to be cut by the Denver Broncos. Did he get cut already? I thought I saw this morning that he did, or maybe he was just on the verge of it. On we go. Niners will also look at corners outside and slot, given D'Amador Lenore's flexibility. That is something we haven't talked a lot about. I don't think, I mean, we've talked about Lenore a lot, but that you can just go best available nickel or corner. If the best guy out there that you can get in your price range is a nickel, great. D'Amador can play outside. I personally, I'd love to see him just stay in the slot and you get an outside guy, but whatever, it doesn't matter. You just pick. Possibly someone like the Packers' Keyshawn Nixon, who's an accomplished return man. They like an off-ball linebacker given Greenlaw's injury, but Azeez Al-Shaair is likely too expensive to bring back. Remember, let me see. Jeremy Fowler, Dan Graziano last week, who wrote, he didn't write Azeez Al-Shaair would be too expensive for the 49ers, but he wrote, Azeez Al-Shaair has, there's a lot of steam on Azeez Al-Shaair was basically what he said. Like, he's going to be a hot name. All right. But I mean, he wants to be a Niner. He showed up to a game while he was technically still under contract with the Titans just to support his guys. Silver went on to say on Sunday, safety, tight end, interior O-line, wide receiver, or other areas of interest. There is no clear sense of whether the Niners will pay Brandon Ayuk. On and on we go with Ayuk. Again, it may come down to value or rethink their approach or their position. They have 11 draft picks, some of which can serve as trade capital. Bottom line, Purdy on a rookie deal. Niners remain in win-now mode. However, patience may be a virtue this week. Biding their time and landing an accomplished edge rusher at value would be cause for celebration. I agree. Helping Nick out, going a little cheaper inside. You've spent the money on Hargrave, DJ Jones, and Danielle Hunter, or Joey Bosa. I know Joey's been banged up, but maybe playing with his brother would give him a little something extra. Those would be wins. Those would be wins. I think those, like, to me, give me, I know there's a lot of like Christian Wilkins talk. Give me Danielle Hunter over Christian Wilkins. You know, if you bring Wilkins, he helps. He upgrades Armstead from a run defense standpoint. Not as good of a pass rusher, but okay. He's younger, healthy. So, I mean, you know, that's a win. But I do think the way they operate here affects, you know, just kind of affects the way we look at what they do in the draft. So other things that have happened, Niners signed Brandon Allen on a one-year deal. He's back. Great. I mean, that's, I think, pretty expected. He's a really good fit. You know, as you guys know, if you've been watching or listening during the season, well, I guess it wasn't that long ago, we had Brandon Allen on the show, interviewed Brandon Allen, and I think he's got a very good feel for what it takes to be a Kyle Shanahan quarterback. I think Shanahan has a lot of respect for him and trusts him a lot. And he's great around Brock Purdy. He's great for Brock. He understands the role. This is a guy that's been around a lot of really good systems. He's been to Brandon Allen's been to three Super Bowls, Super Bowl with the Bengals, Super Bowl with the Rams, Super Bowl with the 49ers, has not won one yet, but he's played for really high level coaches. They value him, right? He's kind of in the tree. Zach Taylor's not really the tree, the Shanahan tree, but Zach Taylor, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan. To me, he's going to be the backup. He's going to be the backup quarterback, and then you draft or sign a free agent guy. As you know, you guys know, I've said I wouldn't draft a guy. I wouldn't use one. The Niners have found production in multiple times in the seventh round, in the sixth round, in the fifth round. They do a good job there. Now, I know this draft is not going to be as deep there, but I would not be inclined to use a pick on a quarterback this year, sign a guy undrafted, make Brandon Allen the backup, and away you go with Brock Purdy. And you go pretty reasonably priced there. So much for Christian Wilkins, which, as you just heard me say it, so this isn't a revisionist history. That's fine. That's fine. Rap Sheet reporting that Wilkins is going to go to the Raiders, 4-year deal, $110 million base value, $85 million in guarantees. Great. Very disappointed, personally, that Russell Wilson did not end up on the Las Vegas Raiders. That felt like a great fit for me. I was going to get a lot of enjoyment out of that. Old news by now. Things move so quickly that Russ is going to the Steelers, which I don't know if people like it or hate it. I don't particularly I'm interested by it. If somebody's going to pay a guy $38 million to go away, then I wouldn't be all that fired up to pay him $1.5 million, let alone a nickel, to be my quarterback. But Kenny Pickett's not good enough. I mean, go back. This is not new news. I said it at the beginning. The Niners played the Steelers in the opener, so we talked about the Steelers a lot, you know, the week leading up to the season. Not good enough. So, sure, whatever. Go get Russ. I don't care. Russ in Pittsburgh will be kind of interesting. PTP, bright lights, that kind of thing. So, you know, he's over the hill. He ain't got it anymore. It's not coming back. But still an upgrade. I mean, he's better than Kenny Pickett or Mason Rudolph. Like, I don't even know what we're talking about here.
Oh, the places ground beef from Butcher Box can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about Butcher Box for years. High quality cuts of meat, amazing value. Find high quality seafood as well that you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code HAM to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham, code HAM. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app, because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game, and I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And Of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping.
Have I told you recently about our good friends at Game Time? Here's the deal. Go to your smartphone, go to your iPad, download a little app called Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in America. You can go to any event, sporting events, college or pro, concerts, comedy shows. Just download that Game Time app. You want to go to a Giants game? Bob Melvin back in the Bay Area. Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, they've loaded up the squad. If you want to go watch the Giants play, Steph Curry making a little playoff run. Concerts all summer long. Want to go watch something at Chase Center? Want to go watch something wherever you live? A concert, get outside, enjoy yourself. Use the promo code HAM for $20 off. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code HAM for your first purchase for $20 off your first pair of tickets.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mac Jones got traded for a sixth. I love people are like, well, you know, what did Mac Jones have that Trey Lance, or what doesn't Mac Jones have that Trey Lance did? Why did Trey Lance go for a fourth and Mac Jones went for a sixth? Because the Cowboys are silly. Because Trey Lance has the one thing that Trey Lance has that Zach Wilson and Mac Jones don't is just the possibility that he can play. Just because he hasn't. Because he hasn't played, people go, well, maybe. Maybe. Track record of guys that used to play for the Niners at quarterback turning out to be better somewhere else. Not good. But that's all it is. Max rep's weird now. Had a team very motivated to move on from him, just as the Niners were. But I think it just shines a light on getting a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance was stunning when it happened, and it's even more stunning with every day that passes. The Trey Lance pick, understand this, the pick the Niners got for Lance is their fourth highest pick. They have 11 picks. Half of them are worse than the pick they got for Trey Lance. Now, we're not going back in time here and going, oh, the initial thing they did for Trey Lance was you know, a massive bust, one of the biggest in NFL history. Not the player so much as just the deal they made. But I think it's just a reminder now when you see Mac Jones go for a six. Like, I wouldn't want Mac Jones to be my quarterback either, but he's proven to be better than Trey Lance, much better than Trey Lance to this point. So the fact that they got a fourth pick, 123 for him, a fourth rounder, is significant. And it only looks more special as time goes on. So Sam Darnold's going to be gone. Understandable. As you guys know, I was intrigued by Sam Darnold going all the way back into training camp. I thought Darnold was interesting. I thought Darnold, you know, I don't know that I expected a ton, but I thought initially, at least, Kyle's history with having, at least to some degree, prepared to draft Darnold, or at least the front office, maybe. It was only October when they traded for Garoppolo and then effectively got off of Darnold. But I thought there was a history there that would make Kyle a little flinchy on the trigger finger to get Darnold in a game. As it turned out, that was not true. Or if it was, Brock was just so good that it never came to that. And we ultimately got one game of Sam Darnold. We saw a throw here or there, Sam Darnold. I saw him a ton in camp. And it was clear that he was their number two quarterback in training camp and in the preseason. I mean, it was obvious, really obvious. It wasn't meant to be. It wasn't meant to be. So he'll go somewhere, get more money, get another shot. I don't know if it'll be good. The odds are not in his favor, just based on the history. I thought the odds were more in his favor if he'd been a 49er with Kyle. But I'll be watching. I'll be intrigued by Darnold. I remain intrigued, but I'm less intrigued when he's on somebody else's team. You know, I'm more intrigued when he's on the 49ers. Tony Pollard left the Cowboys, by the way, to go to the Titans, which maybe that means they maybe they're in on Saquon. I know the Eagles were the ones connected to Saquon. Maybe it means Derrick Henry's moving on somewhere else. Pollard was easy to forget this. The game 2 years ago in the playoffs totally changed when Tony Pollard got hurt. The Niners were, I don't want to say on the ropes, but Tony Pollard was killing them. He was the best thing Dallas had against the 49ers defense. And people don't like to remember it this way. Only, you know, this was the year the Niners 2 years ago lost to the Eagles. People don't like to remember that Dallas was in good shape against it. Eventually, then it was Zeke snapping the ball. But Tony Pollard getting hurt in that game was a significant thing. So, you know, him away from potentially away from the Niners, I don't think it's a bad thing. All right, let's get to some of your comments here. Russ, definitely a Pittsburgh guy. A Yinzer? Might be a Pittsburgh without an H guy, like a Jaden Rashada. Bad deal for the Raiders. Raiders doing Raider things. That's a lot of guaranteed money. They're getting their guy who he wants. I mean, look, the one thing we know about the Raiders GM, he can spend money. Telesco did it with the Chargers. He can spend money. So, you know, I think right now it feels like reading all of the, I don't know if they're even tea leaves, but you read everything that's out there and it feels like pass rusher opposite of Bosa really feels like the priority. Armstead out. Solidify, go run stuffer with your other interior defensive lineman and get a pass rusher. I don't think Chase Young will be back. Randy Gregory, Sean Payton was right about him. You know, Sean Payton was right about him. So I don't think he'll be back. I don't know. It's funny. You think about like, where are these guys going to end up? How much are they going to get? Are they going to get anything? If I'm trying to sign a defensive end for cheap and I look at Chase Young and go, because it's been said, and I think I've said it probably, oh, Chase Young set up for a one-year prove-it deal. What better opportunity to have proven it than the opportunity he just had with the 49ers? They wanted him to start off opposite Bosa. Cleveland Furl was better, but then he got hurt. So they just gave it to him. In theory, Randy Gregory should have had a head start on him. Didn't. And he didn't prove it. He was good in the Super Bowl, but he didn't prove it. So I would not bring Chase Young back. I would not bring Randy Gregory back. This team, I think, has repeatedly proven that they want to go big on a guy. Like, they really value elite talent in free agency. If they're going to plug somebody into a team that, as Debo said the other day, last week with Kay Adams, he thinks will be like 90, 95% back. So if you're going to plug a guy in free agency, what do you do in free agency? Mostly you overpay in free agency. You know, when you go shopping this time of the year, maybe you get a deal that you kind of like, but for the most part, you are overpaying. You're not buying anything on sale. And, so if you're going to go overpay or pay a guy like Javon Hargrave, I saw a list the other day. He was one of the big overpays of the last free agency period. But here's what I would say about him. He was a true starter for the 49ers played a ton of snaps. An excellent locker room fit. Like, if you're going to pay a guy, you feel good about that guy walking into a locker room that has a bunch of other guys making a lot of money, has a very high standard, has a quarterback making shit, making nothing. He fit. And so I think the same thing for the Niners. Like, if you're going to overpay a guy, don't overpay a middle of the road guy. Overpay, quote unquote, overpay a top end guy, because at least he then walks in the locker room and they go, hey, he's one of us. This is a locker room that's got a lot of those types of guys. If your Super Bowl window is open, which it is, and you're going for broke, which they are, you're not so much worried about, well, I know this guy's, you know, this guy's 29. Are we paying? He's 30. Are we paying for his prime in 3 years? No. But what you want is what you're getting right this second. Less concerned about 24-year-olds. Although you'd love to pay a 24. Those guys come available. It's a little weird. You know, they've proven like they want a blue chip guy. They pay blue chip guys. I think as we sit here Monday, we're sitting around making a blue, you know, waiting on a blue chip guy. And then if he's good, it's not an overpay, right? Like, if he starts for you, he plays all the time, he makes plays. Hopefully you sign a guy that can play their way into their pay. You put him opposite of Bosa. You're trying to get Bosa. I know there's, you know, we go look at the metrics and the grades, and Nick is going to be like the top or the number two graded pass rusher. PFF had him the third graded edge rusher in the league behind Garrett and Parsons. And I know we debated all year long whether or not he should have more sacks. You know, you're paying him. Is he really worth it? Shouldn't he have 19 sacks or 20 sacks? And everyone's like, no, you don't understand. Like, he's getting the pressures and the run defense. But you'd want him to get 19 sacks. So, you know, you look at investing in the other pass rusher as investing in Nick Bosa, you know? I the same way you look at investing in an offensive line as investing in your quarterback, and the same way that you look at investing in Brandon Ayuk as investing as your quarterback. So as investing in your quarterback. So let's go back to, where's my Mike Silver thread here? Did not address the Silver comment about Ayuk. There is no clear sense as to whether they will pay Brandon Ayuk. Again, it may come down to value or to rethink their approach to the position. You know, there is no rush here on Brandon Ayuk for the 49ers. There's no urgency. Ayuk's under contract. Ayuk is going to make $14 million on the fifth-year option. Ayuk would like an extension. There are receivers out there that are going to get paid. In free agency, you know, that number is going to be inflated. Could they trade him if they don't get what they want in free agency and then feel like we got to make a move in the draft? Sure. Is he going to be a tradable player? Well, in some ways, you take away his leverage when you wait for all the other receivers to sign and get moved, and T. Higgins wants to get traded. Okay, fine. Like, you let all of that play out, and then you see what the options are for him, and he gets to see what the options are for him. Just like Eric Armstead probably has a good idea of, you know, what his value is out there. It's almost midday Monday. His agent's got to have a sense for what's out there. There's a reason they decide to go to free agency, whether they were far apart, as it seemed like Mayoko reported, or maybe not as far as it seemed like Schefter reported. Like, you wait and see what happens. But the Niners are not, there is no evidence that they're in an urgent situation with Brandon Ayuk. Nothing that's been reported says it. If you just follow the situation, there's no reason for it to be, since he's under contract. I know I've been hammering this, but I kind of feel like you should hammer your predictions. So I keep hammering this prediction. And the reason you should hammer your predictions is just because not everybody watches every show or listens to every show. And I want to make sure, you know, one day soon, we'll look back and go, guy was right or guy was wrong about this. My prediction has been that that Ayuk's going to end up playing this year on a fifth-year option. I don't think it's the only outcome. I just think it's the most likely outcome. Michael Pittman signed a 3-year deal for $71.5 million, $46 million guaranteed. You know, to me, if he's $46 million guaranteed, then Ayuk is, I just saw that number. Yeah, that to me fits into the world where Ayuk wants 60, right? Which would put him not at the very top, but near the top of receiver salaries. So that's what he's asking for, I would think. But again, he's under contract. So different situation. Pittman was a second round pick. So obviously a different situation there. But that feels right. I mean, I don't look at, like, to me, Michael Pittman's money, I don't really see much of an impact on Michael Pittman's money. I don't really think he impacts. I'm just trying to find some other. I don't like these receiver numbers are not correct. I don't really think he impacts Ayuk in any way. Ayuk was always going to be more, whether he was a free agent and or a re-sign. I'm looking at some receiver numbers here, but these are not correct. I think his extension's coming next year. That's where I've been on it. And people say, well, you're about to sign the quarterback. Are you? We'll see. You can do this next year with the quarterback if you wanted. They're not about to sign the quarterback at a top of the market deal, I don't think. If next year they sign Brock Purdy, it's not going to be a top of the market deal, not with a year of leverage left for them. Charlie says, Ayuk will likely sign a 3-year, 4-year contract max. It's interesting. I guess that's probably an age play is what Charlie here on the chat is suggesting. Brandon's 25, turns 26 in 6 days. So we're almost to Brandon Ayuk's 26th birthday. So you're thinking sign a 3-year deal, become a free agent again at 29 or 30, sure, fine. You know, the Niners would prefer it to be longer to spread the money out, but we know 5-year contracts don't have to mean 5-year contracts, although I think for some players, it's pretty easy to look at them initially and go, that guy's going to make it the length of the deal. Comment from DeAnthony, if Ayuk plays on the 5th-year option, it's most likely to be without any offseason work due to a holdout. Agreed. That's what I expect to happen. And the question, the hope, if you're the Niners is, you know, last year they went through all this stuff with Bosa, and they kept saying, well, we know that Nick takes care of himself. We know that Nick prepares. We know that Nick is going to be ready when he shows up. And, to some degree, everybody was like, yeah, I guess that's true. Then Nick showed up and admitted afterwards that the offseason holdout negotiation, all of that affected him. Now, was it the being away from his team and not being able to practice with them that affected him physically? Was it just the mental toll of going through a contract negotiation every day that affected him? I don't know, but that would be a concern for Ayuk. Bowler Dan says, trade Ayuk to Denver for Surtain. Receivers are easier to find than a shutdown corner. That's true. So why would Denver do that? If you were Denver, wouldn't you rather keep Patrick Surtain around? Denver's got problems because of this contract with their quarterback, who they are going to pay $38 million to play for the Steelers this year. So acquiring Brandon Ayuk to then have to turn around and pay him doesn't make a ton of sense, especially after they just traded Jerry Jeudy or are trading Jerry Jeudy to the Browns. You'd love a way to find, Brian Burns would be one. You'd love a way to find Pat Surtain. Surtain, just like you would have loved a way to find Jalen Johnson, who apparently I read today in his introductory press conference, he signed an extension with the Bears, admitted that the last year had to get his sex addiction under control. So good for him. Sounds like a pretty open and honest guy. But these are all players that the Niners,
have been interested in when it came to the trade deadline. So if they're interested in them in October, they're definitely interested in them in March. So I think you can go back and look at anybody that was reported that the Niners potentially traded for. You know, those guys are back and available, or at least in the conversation now. Ryan asked, how did Jalen Johnson fall so far in the draft? He was a great prospect. He was a great prospect out of Utah. Did he fall that far in the draft? I mean, you know, he was a three-year player, so he was young when he came into the league. He started as a true freshman at Utah. I'm just looking at his bio here. It said he made two starts. He played a lot as a true freshman, as I recall, at Utah on a good team. Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, for a guy with some length, kind of the prototypical Utah, he's not quite the 6'2 Seahawks guy, but for him to go at 50 was interesting. I don't remember there being any sort of Jalen Johnson red flags on him in the draft, so I don't know the answer to that, Matt. I will say this. I don't remember feeling in that draft like he was, you know, like, oh, man, Jalen Johnson's tumbling. I don't remember it feeling that way. Where did he go relative to the other corners? Akuda went high. C.J. Henderson went high. A.J. Terrell went high. Damon Arnett went 19. God, there are a lot of... So, I mean, maybe in hindsight, deep corner draft, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 corners went in that draft, 5 of them without a crack addiction. And then he went 7. He was the 7th corner off the board at 50. So to answer the question, I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember feeling like he was falling, but it might have just been that at the time it was a very deep corner draft. 6 guys in the first round is pretty significant. So maybe that's the answer there. Comment from Quinn: I trust Kyle and John to get things right. They definitely have a great track record. Eric says, Guy, quotations. So not calling me Guy, just saying, hey, Guy, if you were the Niners GM and I was the head coach and I tell you I need no lineman, would you sign the ex-Cowboy Smith for me? ? Well, first I tell you to sit down and do your job. Let me do my job. All right. Second, it would be really dependent on what I could get. Like, if I can get Danielle Hunter, I am spending my money there first, and I'm turning my attention to an offensive lineman in the draft. You know, the one thing we've seen with this group, they got Trent. They do feel pretty comfortable, like, rolling out, I don't want to say a ragtag group of offensive linemen, but just a non-premium group of offensive linemen. And, you know, as I said, coming out of the Super Bowl, I think you really need to address that, especially the interior spot, like that right guard spot. You know, we're like, oh, well, Feliciano was good. He graded out well. He did, but he played half as much snaps as the rest of the guards. And Burford's got a rotation. I would like to end the right guard rotation after 2 years. I think 2 years is enough time to rotate guards. I'd prefer not to go into year 3 rotating guards. Now, maybe they're just like, no, this is the best way to do it. Burford's coming along. It's just, I hate it. Rotating guards all the time. It drives me nuts. I don't like it. And I'd like them to stop it if they can. But I also think it tells us something. It's evidence that they're not in a rush there. And I think, you know, they spent a lot of time with a lot of the offense, with all the premier offensive linemen at the combine. They've met with guys. They'll have more visits. You know, that might be the spot where you go, we bring McKivitz back. We got Burford. Maybe Feliciano's back. We draft a guy, and that guy doesn't necessarily even have to play right away. He's on this, you know, the parallel path thing. It was the thing, like, Kawakami always talks about it with the Warriors. Like, parallel path, like develop Wiseman and try to win a championship. It's really tough. It's hard. You just should draft players that can help you. But I do wonder if they look at it like, we can go a little cheaper on the offensive line. We can draft a guy. If he's not ready to play 1,000 snaps, fine. We don't need him to, because we can at least hold it together, bring him along. Maybe by mid, you know, we'll rotate him in. Maybe we'll have a, maybe they'll rotate right guard and right tackle. Somebody made a comment here, and I don't have it in front of me, but oh, here we go. Here's another one. I knew we could count on it. What about David Bakhtiari? He just got released. That's the question from Jason. You know, I love Bakhtiari as a beer drinker and historically as a player. San Mateo, same high school. Went to Sarah, same high school as Brady. So Barry, a guy, went to Colorado. As you guys know, I don't really care about where a person's from when it comes to professional sports. It's sometimes it's a nice added benefit. But the biggest issue, I mean, as much as you would love the guy, the biggest issue is he misses a lot of football. He has back-to-back, four straight seasons, which he has not played 16 games. David Bakhtiari has not played 16 games since 2019. Okay. One game last year, 11 games in 2022, and one game the year before. Knee injury last year, only played the one game. So he's coming off a knee surgery. You know, if you add Bakhtiari, it wouldn't cost you anything. But as much as I would love him, there's no fit. As this channel continues on and the show continues on, as the Guy Haberman channel and the Guy Haberman podcast, we'll see how that name sticks. May switch it up, but trying to make sure that when you search it on the podcast feed, the similar stuff comes up. But we need your growth, need your likes, need your shares, need all that stuff. So thank you for the support. Appreciate it very much. And you're all guys in my book. You're all guys in my book. Guy is not a slur. Thanks for hanging, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.